forevermore. When we meet on that shore, free from all care, rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye. Well, homeward we will fly, glory to share. Jesus is coming
soon, glory on my heart. Maybe we'll be a bit and do something.
Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Tuesday night Bible teaching night. And I usually teach tonight and go over what I'm going to teach tomorrow night at the Word of Life and my Shalom Church. And I'm going to, I've really done some serious changing, not changing to, but my teaching of the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. I want to see how it goes tonight with these critical ears and eyes. If I can get it past you, I can get it past anyone, anyone. So with that, Sister Sharon, how did this morning go in prayer?
Oh, well, we had a really good time in prayer this morning. We had, about maybe five or six people showing up in between and stuff. And it was really nice. People enjoyed the time to get to pray. And I kind of noticed that, Nana Debbie actually first one to bring it up. That it looks like you got somebody with a knife got a hold of your hair.
I was scalped.
Yeah.
I was scalped. I fell asleep in the barber's chair. And when I woke up, that's what happened.
Oh, well, you know what? It looks nice. It really does. And so even if you did fall asleep in the barber's chair, you're lucky you're with us. So,
Here's the thing. Nice. I think the more hair I cut off, the younger I look. So I
felt... you do look better. Yeah, I agree. I agree.
So I felt I wanted to look young today. I told her, cut it back. Cut it back.
Uh-huh.
So that's what happened.
Yeah. It looked nice. And it's all there.
All right.
I've been watching. Every time we get online, I keep watching that hair. But Nana Debbie caught it first today. So, and we're just happy that you're happy with it. And that's what matters.
Well, I don't know exactly how happy I am with it, but. You know, I told her when I sat in the chair, I said, I want you to make me young looking. And that's what I said to her. So I said, cut it back. And she said, all right. So that's how it ended up.
It does look good. And we'll just watch your face expressions to see if you look cranky.
Cranky?
Or anything like that with your haircut. Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm in a good mood tonight. I'm in a good mood tonight. All right, we have Sister Kathy here. Hello, Sister Kathy.
Well, I'm just getting on to Rumble out of curiosity, and yeah, you have been sheared.
That's a pruning. It was a pruning.
Yep. Yeah, you are the sheep of the Lord, and you've been under the shearing chair.
So when I came home, I said to Nancy, now that I look 10 or 15 years younger.
And what did she say?
She didn't answer.
That's a good wife. Just yeah, that's good.
So, all right. Well, everybody can call in and give me how young I look.
Well, Nana Debbie says it does, but I just came on, so I don't know what does, but maybe she'll let us know if it does make you look 15 years younger. It definitely raised your forehead.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
That's that receding hairline that I don't like. That's the downside of it. You get
age is brutal.
Yeah, that's true. All right, this is Gigi and Randy, I'm sure, and they always have something nice to say.
Yes, we saw you get your haircut. Not this time, but previously.
You saw me get it?
I saw it, not this time, but we were at Paula's out in
Pennsylvania.
No, this was in Virginia.
You're
right
talking about with Patty May. Yes. Yes.
And she cut your hair, and she was complaining that you didn't have a proper haircut. She gave you a really nice haircut.
Right.
And it was outside on a lovely day.
Yes.
So
it had rained, and the ground was really soft.
Yeah.
So I sat on the chair, and the whole thing started to sink. And then they were hollering for me to come in because the teaching was started, and she wouldn't let me up.
So that's right.
She was holding me down and cutting my hair, and I couldn't get up because the chair was so low now. And they were hollering for me to come in and start teaching. Now, who gets a haircut like that? That's me. These things happen to me.
But I personally, I have not seen every haircut that you've had, and I can't see you right now. But personally, I thought she gave you the best haircut ever.
Oh, Sister Patty?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a real high-class hair cutter. I mean, on a high level, you know.
Yeah, she's a stylist.
Yeah, that would be the word, a stylist, yeah. All right. I know Brother Charles will have good things to say. Hello, Brother Charles.
Well, Chap, I'm sitting downstairs not looking at the computer, so I don't have anything to say, but I'll let the ladies critique it.
Okay. All right. I don't think Sister Rita is on either. Hello, Sister Rita.
Sorry. Good evening, Chaplain John. No, I'm not. I'm just on the phone, so I won't be able to see it until tomorrow. I usually listen the next day again, so then I'm on my phone, and I will see it then.
Okay.
Because I go into the email.
Well, I wasn't going to make a spectacle of it, really, except someone spotted it, and next thing I know, it was out in the open, and so there we go. But, yes, Gigi, you were there in Virginia when Patty May was cutting my hair. And she wouldn't let me up. The chair sunk into the ground. And she had her hand on my shoulder, and she was cutting my hair. I said, Patty, I got to get up. No, I'm going to cut your hair. And they were hollering. The teaching was starting, and they were hollering me to come in. Do you remember?
Yes, I do. Yeah, and we were laughing. I didn't have a picture of that, but I do have a picture. If I can find it, I will send it to you. One St. Patty's Day, you had on a tiny green hat, and let's see, something else. Oh, I think you had on ears too, like shamrock ears or something. I'm trying to remember. I think I still have that photograph.
All right. Okay.
That's a classic.
And I did get your letter. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks so much, John.
All right. Let's get going here. And let's open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for everything. It was a good day today, Lord. It was a real good day. And thank you, Lord. You kind of led me into an area a little bit, a big different area, Lord. And I hope it's a real blessing to everyone. And whatever I do, Lord, is always under the blood of the everlasting covenant that you make with us in Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the prayer time this morning went real well. That went went really well. So it was a good day. Good day. Let me get...
And Chaplain.
Yes, Sister Kathy.
Pastor Dove called in and he said he's sorry he hadn't been able to come on, but that he would hopefully be on Thursday or Friday, but things are looking real good for his Jerusalem trip.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, things are, I talked to him this afternoon, but they're really heating up quickly. And we're sending 3 aircraft carrier battle groups to the Persian Gulf and the Red Sea. Now it won't be in there, but it looks like he's going to. Trump said, if they fire more missiles at us, we're holding Iran responsible because they're the ones providing the Houthis the missiles. And things are degenerating really quickly in Gaza and also in Lebanon and Syria. Because Israel has been pounding Hezbollah, and they've been attacking. Because you've got this, they're just like Hamas in charge of Syria, exactly like Hamas. And they've already killed. I don't know how many people they killed. So it's really heating up. And then there's a distinct possibility that Israel and/or the United States might be any day now attacking Iran. So, the Lord wanted Trump in place for a reason, and he's in there now with Israel. Okay, we're going to look at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that's found in Revelation 19. Now, what I'm doing to this, for the very first time, I'm tying together the marriage supper of the Lamb and the New Jerusalem. And it's a little unique, but the Lord, the teaching came to me like last night or early this morning. And then the more I thought about it, it like expanded and opened up. So I'm going to show it to you. And I may do a little bit more research tomorrow before I teach it, but let's see how it goes. And we'll go real slow. And I want to ask questions and get comments. All right, it's the Marriage Supper of the Lamb, and there's my contact information. And let's go with Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the word of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So, Lord, we claim all the blessings of Revelation, the book of Revelation, Lord. Every one of them. We don't want to miss one blessing that you say is a part of this book. So thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And just a little brief understanding of how I'm teaching. It's more concepts and not so much verse by verse. And it's my big thing in teaching Revelation is understanding it. You know, how it flows and how it's structured. And this is part of it also now with Revelation 19. All right, let's read these scriptures here from Revelation 19, starting at verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of the brethren, and have not, and have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Well, when I was thinking about this and looking it over and thinking on the scriptures and all, what I want to touch upon is the location of the marriage supper. Now, the location is not mentioned. It's in heaven, and there's a huge gathering of people, unknown, and it said, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. But here's what I've been thinking about in scriptures. Let's look at a couple scriptures here about Jerusalem. Hebrews 12:22. But they are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Now, in context, comparison, really, to the earthly Mount Sinai and to the heavenly Mount Zion there, which is really unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. So Hebrews is talking about the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Now we go to the great faith chapter, Hebrews 11:10. For he, that's Abraham, looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In verse 16. And now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, and have prepared for them city. But what's really interesting here, especially like with verse 10, Abraham, when you read the account in the Old Testament, it doesn't really say that he looked for a city whose foundations, whose builder and maker is God, but it comes out in Hebrews that he did. And then in verse 16, and he prepared for them a city. So you don't see like the New Jerusalem really mentioned there in the Old Testament. But here in Hebrews, it's making it clear. And then it talks in Hebrews 12:22 about we are not focused on the earthly Mount Sinai, but we're on Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. But as I looked at this, and I thought about it, there's not too much preaching about the heavenly Jerusalem. But apparently for Abraham and the Old Testament saints, it was an anchor of their soul. Now, I do preach on it. I touch upon it. I don't really preach upon it. I touch upon it about looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then with the blessed hope, we have, we just don't go to heaven. We go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I do mention the New Jerusalem is our final, I want to say resting area, but that doesn't sound good. It's our final abode. There we go. It's our final abode. And so I think there's a lot of power connecting the marriage supper of the Lamb and Jerusalem, which I'm about to show you. Yeah. Revelation 21, verse 2. And John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, coming down from God out of heaven. Now look at this, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And we're talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the New Jerusalem was adorned beautifully, as a bride adorned for her husband. So there's the link that really jumped out to me as I was thinking about this morning. Because I know Revelation 21 there, that link there between as a bride adorned for a husband. Now we go down to verse 9 and 10. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So I'm putting this all together, and there is God sees the, now notice it's called Holy Jerusalem, and then in verse 22, verse 2, it's called the New Jerusalem. And it's clearly referred to as the bride of the Lamb. And that's because I think there's several things going on here now, because that's where the bride is located. The bride, the believers in Jesus Christ, and the bride there would be, you know, after the marriage supper of the Lamb, is located in Holy Jerusalem and the New Jerusalem. So I want to add a little more to this, because this here, when we look at the Old Testament, I think it adds to this. So let's look at Beulah Land now. The New Jerusalem is our Beulah Land. So Israel, the covenant land with all the blessings. So God made a covenant with Abraham over the land, and there were all sorts of blessings associated with it, and that this was going to be God's land that he gave to the Jews. And there was, that's covenant land. And this is, God's serious about this land. Now let's look at Isaiah 62:4. Now this is talking about the millennial reign. For thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hizpah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. See, now, when I was thinking about this, marriage is a covenant. God created man as a covenant. And he has a covenant relationship with the land. He made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the Jews, a covenant relationship. And God goes here as far as to say, and thy land shall be married. Beulah land. And Hizpah means joyful. So this is, and so we go on to verse 5, Isaiah 62:5. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall God rejoice over thee. So this whole thing about when the Lord returns and the kingdom is set up here on earth, it's like a marriage. And the land is brought involved with it. because that's covenant land. That is incredibly important land. But notice how important the New Jerusalem is to us. New Jerusalem is called the bride, the city itself. And that's, and it's like beautiful, as the scriptures say. But it's because it's the bride, because we're there. We're there. So there's like a connection between Beulah land on earth, which I think we can learn from, and the New Jerusalem in heaven. So when we look at this, well, and then one more thing here about the New Jerusalem in heaven. Because remember in Isaiah 62:4, it says, thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall the land be termed desolate. But Beulah land is incredible. It's covenant, the covenant land's alive, and it's like a marriage, and God's going to rejoice over the people there. It's going to be wonderful. So now we look at the New Jerusalem in Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So that's our New Jerusalem. You know, just as there was great blessings with Beulah land, in the New Jerusalem, it's all redone. It's all wonderful. So with that, I'm thinking, how could the marriage supper of the Lamb not be in New Jerusalem? If you look at Revelation 21 and the way that Hebrews talks about the saints of old, were their goal was to go to the New Jerusalem, because that's where God was. That was his city. So anyways, I think there's enough scripture here to place the marriage supper of the Lamb in the New Jerusalem. And it fits, because that's where we belong. Otherwise, you're out in the open someplace in heaven. But the marriage supper of the Lamb will be in the New Jerusalem, because that's where God's bride belongs. That's the bride's city, the New Jerusalem. So with that, I'm going to stop, and I'm going to ask a couple comments here. All right, Sister Sharon, what do you think of me placing the marriage supper of the Lamb in the New Jerusalem? Well, Sister Kathy.
Well, I think it's a perfect fit, and I can't wait.
Well, you see, here's the thing. I want to thank you for saying that. This is what I want to add to it. It's like, I think based on what I saw in Hebrews and what I saw in Revelation there, that there should be more preaching on the New Jerusalem, because the Old Testament saints, that was the anchor of their soul. And in Hebrews, it talks about we're looking for the heavenly Jerusalem. We're not looking here on earth for Mount Zion on earth. We're looking for the heavenly Mount Zion, the city of Jerusalem. But it was a big deal. And like I say, when I'm preaching on the Blessed Hope, I kind of briefly mention Jerusalem, but I think especially in the hour we live in, as we're in the end of the end times and the nanoseconds left, God wants us focused on the marriage supper of the Lamb and New Jerusalem.
Amen. Amen. Now, I'm just thinking of the words of the song, Holy City, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And that's the only words I can remember, but that doesn't complicate it at all.
No. Okay. No. Okay, Sharon, What is your comment on this teaching on the New Jerusalem?
Okay, I think that it's just like you were saying that the marriage supper of the Lamb is in this New Jerusalem.
Yes.
And stuff in that.
Yes.
There's no other place that we've been shown that it could be.
Right.
And so I've never thought anything other than that exactly where it's going to be.
Amen. Well, I felt it was going to be in the New Jerusalem, but I never had gone through the scriptures like I've gone through now to put it there. You know.
Okay.
So that entails, I think when I'm teaching tomorrow night, I want to bring exhortation in about the New Jerusalem. It will be and what God has in store there. We can only imagine what he has in store there. That's where the marriage supper of the Lamb will be. And everybody be excited about Christ coming for us and taking us to the marriage supper of the Lamb in the New Jerusalem.
It's going to be exciting. I think we all think about it now and we get excited.
Yes, 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 absolutely. But it was major, apparently, in the Old Testament saints. That was a major belief for them, to look for the city whose builder and maker is God. Mm-hmm. All right, Paula Jean.
And Chaplain?
Yes,
Nana Debbie says, wonderful teaching, fits perfectly.
Oh, okay. All right. Paula Jean?
Yes. I agree. I totally, I'm not free to talk. Oh, there we go. Yes, I totally agree. It is how I had envisioned that this would be, but I also had not sought out the scriptures to confirm it. It's just basically, as I read, I kind of put it together in my mind that it would be in the New Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And so it's very nice to have it confirmed. And with some of the scripture research that you've done, because now it's not as vague, you know. I just thought, well, where else would it be? Of course,
right.
How can the marriage supper
of the Lamb not be in the New Jerusalem when it says that the city is God's bride?
Right.
So,
but it's very exciting, and I do pray that the closer we get to that time, the more real it will become, and just continue to well up excitement and anticipation within us.
Amen. Amen. All right. We have Gigi and Randy.
I think it's interesting. I've heard that it was in the 75-day interval, but I think what you're teaching makes more sense to me. But Randy has a comment.
No. What's in the 75-day interval?
You want to know what's in the 75-day interval?
No, Gigi said something about she heard that it was in the 75-day interval.
She heard it from me because that's what I had thought. But, you know, since I think it's chapter 19 in Revelation,
yes,
where it talks about the marriage of the Lamb, and then right after that it talks about the marriage supper. So that led some people to believe that it happened in heaven right after the marriage. But that doesn't make any sense. And the reason for that is that the marriage supper of the Lamb certainly would involve the bride and groom, but there would also be guests of the wedding. And so by the time you get to the New Jerusalem, there's plenty of other people who have been saved who can be the guests at the wedding. So that makes sense to me.
Okay. All right. As long as it makes sense.
What do you think?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that. What do we do scripturally now with the huge amount of people that were under, that were killed by the whore of Babylon and are under the altar. They are released, and we know there's a huge multitude of people in Revelation chapter 7, which are them. So what happens with them at the marriage supper of the Lamb? I've been thinking about that today.
Well, if there's a new heaven and a new earth, even though the bride comes back at the second coming of Christ, comes back with him, certainly those other saints, it seems to me, would at some point also come back and be in the, if not in the millennium, at least in the New Jerusalem.
Yeah, well, see, that's my thought. I mean, are they part of the marriage supper?
Yeah, they're the guests. You know the stuff that leads up to the marriage of the Lamb follows the same pattern as weddings in the time of Jesus. In other words, what it says about going and preparing a place for the bride, and it says about the Father being involved, and then it talks about the guests. And you can't really have the marriage. You can have the marriage without any guests, but you can't have the marriage supper without any guests. You can't have it just the bride, because how would you leave out all these other believers and all these other Old Testament saints and tribulation martyrs? How would you leave out those people? Well, no, they'd be the guests at the supper.
Yeah, very good, Randy. You explained that excellent. Uh-huh. Excellent.
Well, thank you.
I mean, that was very good. Excellent. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, John.
Okay. And then we have Sister Rita here.
Yeah, it sounds good to me that the marriage supper of the Lamb would be in the New Jerusalem. It sounds, it has to be somewhere. So, I mean, it sounds good to me.
Yeah, when I looked at those scriptures tying together the city being the bride, obviously, you know, rock and gold and everything is not the bride, but the city is one with the bride. That's where the bride lives. So how could we not have the marriage supper in the New Jerusalem? It has to be. So it's so obvious when you just look at those scriptures and put it together with the marriage supper of the Lamb in Revelation 19, that everything is so obvious. It just took me a long time to finally just go over a couple chapters and put verses from chapter 21 into the 19, and it fits together perfectly. So, all right, thank you. And this should be Twizzle, a.k.a. Mary. Hello, Twizzle. I think Omaha. All right, might not be with the phone.
Chaplain, she's going out. There's going to be a blizzard, and she had to go pick up the Panera Bread, so she may not be able to take her hands off the steering wheel.
Oh, okay.
She'll be coming back home.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's go back and look at some more of the marriage supper of the Lamb here. So I think, just summing this up a little, what we see at Beulah Land at the Lord's return perfectly matches with the bride in the New Jerusalem. You know, God's attitude towards it, how important the land is, because he made a covenant. Well, the New Jerusalem is very important to him also, and how he's rejoicing over the land there and the people on the land in Beulah Land. And he's rejoicing over us in the New Jerusalem. And the marriage takes place on Beulah Land, and the marriage takes place in the New Jerusalem. And everything, all the horrible things that happened were done away with now. And it's a time of rejoicing. And then in the New Jerusalem, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That's the New Jerusalem. So that's like Beulah Land here with the Jews on earth. So you could probably do an in-depth study on Beulah Land and transfer everything related to Beulah Land, transfer it to God's, the bride in the New Jerusalem. Now the dress for the marriage supper, this is very, very important. And white, the color white is very important here. There's a numbers of scriptures on it. So let's take a look at these scriptures. We'll go into Revelation regarding the churches. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis. Now look at this, which has not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. So white has to do with not being defiled. White garments have to do with not being defiled. And verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So white raiment right here, and of course it's connected with overcoming. Well, as overcomers, we wear white raiment, and that white raiment means your name will not be blotted out of the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So white raiment is seriously important, because the ability in heaven to wear white raiment means basically assurance of eternal life. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. And of course, we know the overcoming is through Jesus Christ. So we're able to wear white raiment because we overcame through the blood of the Lamb. But it's real serious when you look at this. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Now, this has to do with Laodicea. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. All right. So they're not clothed now in Laodicea, and look at the way they look. And that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve that thou may seest. So, being able to wear white raiment means that we're clothed before God. People are wearing white raiment, white clothes. That thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear. So they are, before God, they are naked in sin. But when we come to him through Christ, we're allowed to be clothed with this white raiment. Revelation 6:11. And white robes were given to every one of them. These are the ones under the altar now in the book of Revelation. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Okay, so they're in heaven and they're wearing white robes, which means they have eternal life, but they're just waiting for prophecy to be fulfilled. Revelation 7:9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hand. So to be able to stand before the throne in heaven, we have to be clothed in white robes here. Now these next scriptures, Revelation 17:7-13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? So John responds, and he says, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So now we're getting this one scripture here really gives the indication of why the white robes are so important before God, because they have been washed, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So it's Jesus paying the penalty for sin, which allows us to wash, to wear this white before God. Revelation 1:15. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And Revelation 19:14. The armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. So that white raiment there means that we have been washed of our sin, which our clothes would be filthy rags. We've been washed of our sin through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that all means. That white means we had filthy garments all stained with sin and torn and filthy and all. And through Jesus Christ, we're washed and made clean through his shed blood. And that white linen, when we look at Revelation, I don't think I put the verse from Revelation there. Hang on. Because it means the righteousness of the saints. Let me go back and get it. Verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. So that white linen means we are righteous before God. It's an outward sign of what's our inner being. Revelation 19:8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in the fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now let me go back to where I was. All right. Now in Revelation 19:9, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. So the key word that I'm looked at, well, actually blessed, the blessed, are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So we need to be blessed of God to go to the marriage supper. And that blessed is through faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. But we've got the word, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, Revelation 17:14, these are the kings of the earth that are going to declare war on Jesus Christ. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called. So we're called to be with Christ, and we are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that called means invited. So as believers, we are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And right, blessed are they which are called. We're invited because we're his bride. And we are invited to come with him as he is going to destroy the armies of man gathered together at Armageddon to try and stop him. So we're invited to come along with him. Now, also there about Revelation 17, 14, it says called and chosen. Now, chosen means to select. And it's very interesting. In the Greek, by implication, it's a favorite.
Yeah.
So we're invited and we're chosen. Come on, come on with me. And then faithful means trustworthy. God knows that those that are faithful will follow his word and his instructions. They're absolutely, totally trustworthy. So we are, as believers, invited, selected, and we're trustworthy. And there's a great blessing to be called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that goes along with the blessed hope. So it's like a double blessing, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. So looking for Christ is a blessed hope, is the blessed hope. And then Christ coming for us, not only is blessed hope, but on top of it, there's a great blessing because we are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. So we're like engulfed in huge blessings. This is very interesting. And to make this kind of connection, the kingdom of heaven, this is a parable that Jesus was giving. The kingdom of heaven is like a marriage for his son, for a king's son. You can't help when you see this is think of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And God is speaking directly to the Jews here, or Jesus is speaking directly to the Jews. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, look at this. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. The marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. I mean, he's using this parable to teach about what's heaven is like. And it's actually the literal marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. So this here is about Jesus inviting the Jews to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. It's actually the Father who's inviting them. And again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatling are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. That's the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. Because there is no other marriage in heaven except the marriage supper of the Lamb. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. So this is rebellion now. They will not come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is a great insult to God, our king. God is our king because he has this all prepared for his son. It's a marriage for his son in heaven, and particularly the Jews won't come. Verse 7, but when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. So he has the marriage all set for his son, and they're in rebellion against him. And he saith and saith unto his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which are bidden were not worthy. Go therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bring to the marriage. Now, in the highways, that expression, you've got people that are like leprosy. You've got all sorts of criminals. You've got the blind, the halt, the lame. You know, that's who was in the highways out there. Verse 10. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they were found. Now look at this, both good and bad. That means the marriage supper in heaven is open to everyone. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. Now, that's what I've been driving at this whole time here, the wedding garment. So they must have put on white garments to be in the king's presence. But someone came in there and refused the garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Now look at the reaction of the king. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. That's a picture of the lake of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing teeth. What a picture, that wedding garment. So on earth, here in Matthew 22:11, we see about the wedding garment, and look how important it is. Then when we go in and we study the garments, the wedding garment in heaven, it's white, clean, pure raiment, which represents the righteousness of God. So this, quote, guest came in there, apparently not respecting the king's request to wear a white garment. And the king was outraged. It was a great insult. So when it says, take him away and cast him into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That ends it here and makes it spiritual. It makes it like this is God in heaven. This whole thing is about God in heaven, because look how it ends. And take him away and cast them into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That could not be any earthly king doing that. This is spiritual. So that lesson was directly to the Jews about them rejecting God's son, Jesus Christ, and that in heaven there is a marriage supper of the Lamb, and the ones that are invited, which are the Jews, would not come. In fact, they revolted against the king, against the not the physical king here, but the king, God, the Father, he's the king. Those that tried to come in without the wedding garment were going to be put into outer darkness, where there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So in the end, you could see this was like kind of literal about what's coming down, and for those that reject God's son's wedding, the king, well, I'm just going to say God's son's wedding. All right. And when we get almost to the end of the Bible, there's only a couple verses left. Revelation 22:17. Is an invitation for eternal life. And the verse says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. So at this point, we should be cooperating with the Holy Spirit in this, because we're joined together. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. So we should be out there telling people, come. We want you to come to heaven. We want you to be at in the New Jerusalem and all. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. But we are, should be working side by side, the Holy Spirit, reaching those out there. And let him that is athirst come, those that are dying without the water of the life of the Word of God in them. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That water of life freely is the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. All right. I'm going to work on this tomorrow. I have some more I want to fit in, but I couldn't, I ran out of time for the show tonight. But I'm very pleased to make that connection with the New Jerusalem and the marriage supper of the Lamb are tied together. And so I believe they should be taught together. So let's see what we have going on over here now. All right. Well, I'll start the way I did before. Sister Kathy, any additional comments?
Well, it was very, oh goodness, when you, not consistent, but very, you kept it going. You just, it was perfect.
Oh, perfect. Oh, wow.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Perfect. All right. Let's see. Mr. Sharon, do I hear a perfect from you?
Yes, I will second that perfect. And, I really enjoyed tonight, and it's I don't want to say it was confusing or anything, because it wasn't really confusing, and we did need to take sometimes we have to take what is taught to us and told to us, and if like when it's right out of the Bible, you know, like almost, you know, word for word, we have to take that as truth and stuff, and that's exactly what went on with the study tonight. Is it is all, it's all truth, you know. We don't need to deny or think it's not the truth.
Okay.
So I thank you for that.
All right. Like I say, I have to put some more together for the teaching tomorrow night. But this, it just looks so perfect to tie the marriage supper of the Lamb into the New Jerusalem. I mean, there's the,
why
in the world
would they have it?
Where would the
marriage supper be?
Yeah, right. Exactly. All right, Paula Jean.
Yes, I'm in concurrence with everybody else. It's just, it went together really well and easy to follow and makes good sense. And praise God, and thank you.
Okay, thank you. Then we have PG and Randy.
I just have a kind of a question about something. It came to me as you were reading the scripture, where I think it's the Lord God who is speaking to this guest, and he's calling this guest friend, but that friend has not the white raiment. And so I know it's a parable, but is that really the word friend? He's calling him friend, but then he's being cast out.
Well, he had been kind to him. This guy was from the highways and hedges, and he had been kind to him. And that was maybe the king's approach for everyone.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right.
You know. But to the king, it was a tremendous insult. Tremendous.
Yes. Yes.
You know.
Don?
Yes, Randy.
Just as the church is the bride of Christ, Israel is the bride of the Father. Is bride of God the Father.
Yeah.
And in fact, he's the bride, and then he has a divorce from Israel and then returns. Is there any place for a bride of God the Father in there?
No, the bride of God the Father will be with Beulah Land.
Right, right. That makes sense.
That's what I thought.
That's good. Thank you.
Okay. And then we have Rita.
Okay, now, what are we talking about now? What was the question?
No, there's really no question there. It has to just do about how were you blessed by it, how it ended.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yes, it's the teaching was great.
Yeah, you see, without the book of Revelation, you wouldn't know in Matthew 22 that was, although it was a parable, it's real. It's about the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. You follow?
Okay. Yes. I'm following.
Yeah. So that, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like a marriage where a king had for his son. Well, that's exactly like the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Yes.
So although it's taught to them as a parable, it's a real event. Well, it hasn't happened, but it will happen. It's like almost like a prophecy. Do you follow?
Yes, I agree. Yeah. Yes, I'm following.
Okay. All right. So glad
well,
you're blessed. All right. And Twizzle, did you get home? Maybe not yet. And then we have Suzanne.
That's yes.
Hello.
Hi. I know it was wonderful because it sounded wonderful, but I was not able to totally follow because of got back from Iowa yesterday in the late afternoon, and I had kind of a rough day. So my brain is not focusing real well. So I was listening, but not able to process a lot of it.
All right.
But that's not your fault, and that's nothing about you. It's just where my head is.
Okay.
But thank you, though.
All right. So well, maybe you could re-listen to it.
Right, right. No, that's the beauty of that's the beauty of the YouTube or the not YouTube, but the Rumble thing.
Well, I'd like to have some prayer, and then to we can go into music, have play some music. I think that everybody would be blessed by. So let me have prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we see how in the scriptures, how the Old Testament saints, they lived, Lord, looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Abraham, he lived here on earth looking for that same city, the New Jerusalem. We seem to have bypassed that word. That's not a big focus for the most part with the people today, but it certainly was in Abraham's day, Moses' day, going back there. Lord. So, Lord, now we have the end times, roaring upon us. And we have the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then the New Jerusalem and all its splendor. That'll be our eternal abode, Lord. Because it had such a big impact. I pray that it be preached today and have that same impact. The time is certainly right. It is certainly right, Lord. So we praise you and thank you, Lord. And may many be swept up into the kingdom with the marriage supper of the Lamb and the New Jerusalem with excitement, Lord, with hope. And, of course, they'd have to repent of their sin. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the blessings, Lord. Blessed is he that is called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And Lord, let us live with a deep yearning for the blessed hope, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So Lord, let the blessed hope grow deeper and deeper and deeper in us, Lord. So we praise you and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. Okay, Sharon, would you like a song?
Of course, I would love a song. And we haven't really played it in a while, but No More Tears with the ladies.
Yeah, okay. I have to get this set up here. Give me a moment.
Oh, yeah, that's no problem. And the thing is, think about it, what you were teaching tonight, their clothes are all white. All their dresses and everything, everybody's dressed in white.
Okay. So let me hang on here. Why am I having trouble? Oh, I know why I'm not doing it the right way.
Oh.
That's easy.
John?
Yes.
Before you play any music, I just wanted to say, as I'm sitting here and talking to Randy and listening to all this, now it always bothered me about that question, like what Randy said is, okay, so what happens to the wife of Jehovah? But now I understand about the Beulah land, because that was a divorced wife.
Yes.
So now, yeah, all of a sudden, it really makes sense to me. And it's interesting because Roy, you remember Roy?
Who?
Roy Plummer. Roy,
yes,
Wiley.
Yes, 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 I remember him, yes.
Yeah. Well, what was interesting is because we used to have a Bible study online, and a really close friend of Roy, I'm not going to say what her first name is. Anyway, she had gone through a really rough marriage of like abuse and everything. And when she got divorced, she took the last name Beulah. And she was trying to explain it to me, but she didn't actually explain it completely. But I always thought that was so interesting that she actually changed her last name because of that scripture and the restoration. So anyway, I just want to say thank you so much, because I've been struggling with that for some time, and this just totally straightened it out now. Now I understand. So that was okay. Great. Thank you so much.
All right. Now, Sister Sharon, I'm having a problem here.
Good. Okay. Good.
No more. It should be no more tears.
Right.
But that's not coming up.
All my tears.
I don't say anything.
That's what it is.
Don't say anything.
Okay, all my tears.
Don't say anything. I hope he can find it. He did?
Yeah, he just did all my tears.
Oh. Yep, that's it. We got to remember that. Hide bluegrass. Hayde.
Okay.
Okay. So
I got to go close up my shop, my grill.
Oh, okay.
All right, here we go.
Do you need help with anything?
No.
Hold on here. Let me. There we go. All right, we're off and running.
This world left on my soul will all be healed. tears be washed away.
Next here, I'm talking to myself. Hang on, let me get over, and we'll go to Sister Rita. Yes, Sister Rita, who would you like? Well, I'm sorry, I got the wrong person picked up here. Sister Rita, I have you muted. Yes, who would you like? What would you like, Sister Rita?
Oh, I was talking. Okay. Beulah Land by Casting Crowns.
All right. Beulah Land.
Beulah Land, sweet. sweet Beulah land. I'm kind of homesick for a country where I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, for time won't matter anymore. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and someday just a few more days to labor, and then I'll take my heavenly flight. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and someday
Let's see who we have next. And we have Suzanne, would you like a song? You like Jerusalem.
I do. I do like that song. And if you don't have it, I have another option. But whatever you think.
Randy Travis in Jerusalem.
Hey.
Jerusalem's Cry.
The storm on the rise, look around, you can't deny, this is the hour of heaven's time. Armies gather in the east for the war that's soon to come. Death will march with the mark of the beast. light and walk with the sun. Soon we'll see his wrath come down and the Lord descending from the sky. When you hear the trumpet sound, God has answered Jerusalem's cry. The word of God in the Bible says we're living in the end times. Soon we'll see his wrath come down and the Lord descending from the sky. When you hear the trumpet sound, God has answered Jerusalem's cry. God has answered Jerusalem's cry. Soon the dead in Christ will rise and join him in the sky. And even unbelievers will see God has answered Jerusalem's cry. God is the answer to Jerusalem's cry.
Okay, did that perk you up there a little, Sister Suzanne?
It did, because I don't know. I think I'm just real melancholy right now from my visit at the nursing home and everything. But Beulah Land is so sweet, but it makes me sad. I think it just, it's such a beautiful song. And this one is a little more, yeah, I guess I needed a little upbeat.
Okay.
So thank you.
All right.
Chaplain?
Yes?
The dead man was hoping that I hear down by the river to pray.
Okay.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down. Come on, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh,
me the way. Oh, mothers, let's go down. Come on down, don't you want to go down? Come on, mothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way.
All right, let's go to, hang on here. I think Rita is up.
No, you already called on me.
That's right. I was casting crowns?
Yes, Beulah Land.
Okay.
I think maybe I don't think you've called on Kathy yet.
Well, I got my finger on the trigger here. Sister Kathy?
Okay.
Thank you, Rita. I appreciate that. Yeah, I want to pray. I do have a song, but I really would rather pray.
Sure.
Okay. Lord, I thank you so much for this great day. I thank you for sunshine and blue skies and just love and peace and joy. And Father, I thank you so much for the astronauts coming down safely after a grueling 9 months of zero gravity and uncertainty. And I know they fully expected to die up there, or at least were prepared to. But Father, thank you that that did not happen. And Lord, I just thank you for the conversation with Putin and Trump. And I just pray that it will result in good accomplishment. And Lord, I thank you that Zelensky has been exposed as a charlatan and everything that he is, a warmonger, a thief, a liar, a cheat, a swindler. He's just not a good person, and neither is Putin. But, Lord, at least they're being held accountable. And, Lord, I pray for Israel. They have got to defend themselves. They have got to stop the progress of nuclear annihilation of their nation. And so we just pray, Lord God, to just do as you did when you showed them how to do that amazing thing where the things blew up in their hands and in their pockets. Do and pull off something else like that, God, but just to totality. And Father, I just thank you that you've kept Trump and Vance and Elon and Johnson alive. Do not let the enemy destroy them, Lord. They're just being come against with everything. Everything is coming to be thrown at them, Lord, but thank you that they are resolved to stand in the gap and fight the good fight and save the U.S. of A. Thank you so much for that. We pray for Dove. We pray, oh God, that he will get there. And he said, I can't believe they're so close to war, and this is when my trip is scheduled. But Lord, I thank you that if he's not supposed to go, there will be a stop. And if he is supposed to go, he holds the key to so much, Lord, evidently and obviously. And we just thank you for Chaplain John and all the Abba Father ministry. We thank you for Nancy and all the children. And we pray for Mary Mosley and Michael and Dave and Willie and Pastor Fred and just all the other people. I know I've left out a few names, but the overseas people as well. And thank you. Thank you for the souls and the healings and the deliverances and the healed hearts just thank you, God. We cannot praise you enough. And again, I thank you for all the people in chat, all the people on Dialpad. We thank you for those that are here and those that weren't able to come. And we just praise you, praise you, praise you for your goodness and mercy, your peace that passes all understanding, and joy unspeakable full of glory. You are the great shepherd, the great I am, the Alpha and Omega. There's none like you. You're just awesome in all your ways and holy in all your works. And I just pray blessings. There's just so many other. I spoke with the EMT person today, Lord, and I told them to be assured that they are being prayed for daily by countless thousands of people, but assuredly, Abba Father International Fellowship. So all they deal with is trauma, heartache, loss of life, loss of limbs, just trauma. PTSD has got to be 1 inch away from them, if not altogether on them, and for the nurses and doctors as well. And so, Lord, I just pray for them to, I just don't know how they do it, but you've called them for that, and help them, Lord, to resolve these issues when they pull up on an accident and there's multiple fatalities or dismemberment, whatever they go and see, and possibly being shot or hurt themselves. So bless the entire first responder, first aid, all of that. Just bless, bless, bless. And Father, thank you for missionaries home and far in the Bible ministry and everything with YouTube and websites and just everything. Bless us. Christian radio and Christian TV. It spreads the gospel through the airwaves. And Lord, that is alive. The waves are alive with the power of God. And I thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right. God bless everybody. Tomorrow morning, I'll be on for prayer. And then later in the evening, I'll be back. I'll be teaching Revelation 19 tomorrow. So God bless everybody. Hope to see you. And then Thursday we'll be back with 1 John chapter 3. All right. God bless you now.
O God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood bought gift.
Send the fire,
oh, and make us all fit